We're in lesson 64 in the book of Ephesians, so if you'd be turning to Ephesians chapter 5, we studied the whole Bible, the Bible's own way. That's our little motto at Dispensation Bible Church, and to understand the Word of God, you have to rightly divide the Word of truth. And the book of Ephesians, as we're working through it, is a book that helps the local church. Chapter 4, 5, and 6 is dealing with the local church in a way of how to conduct herself and walk. And the book of Ephesians also is a book of an advanced doctrinal truth about a mystery program. You know, Paul is assuming you already know the book of Romans as your doctrine of foundational truths as far as justification, sanctification, and dispensation and application. But it also is a fact that how we conducting ourselves here on this earth will impact the eternally heavens and all. So we got to really think about these things. And as I'm going back over a book of Ephesians, it's probably our second or third time since we established our church, is the fact that every time I go through it, it's hitting me even harder in some areas that I'm lacking. You know, if you think about your weaknesses, you never know what your weaknesses is until you test yourself. You ever notice that? You know, even if it's weightlifting or just knowledge of the scriptures or whatever, you know, I hope I never get old enough that I'm not being taught. You know what I mean? You got to have a teachable spirit in order to understand the Word of God rightly divided, because many of us came out of denominationalism, and I tell you, it was bondage, wasn't it? You know, in a way that, you know, the religious system cranked down on us and they pointed their fingers at us and told us to do this and do that. And you're like, what? And you felt unworthy in a lot of things and all. But now you understand the Word of God rightly divided. You have some freedom in who Christ Jesus had made you to be free and not go back under bondage in a way that even in a religious system. So, you know, I count myself unworthy in a lot of things, but I also count myself being faithful to the ministry and to be able to teach and encourage you to do the same thing. So in chapter 5, verse 1, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and have given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saint. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God." So, chapter 5, verse 2, this is where we left off last week. And we talked about our sufficiency in God, last lesson, I should say. People, when you walk in love in Christ Jesus, the ideal there is totally dedicated to Him. And just to reflect all that Christ is and all that you are in Him. And just to be totally dedicated and surrendered to Him and completely used by Him and hand over to Him. That's a lot to do with to Him. Because who saved you?
He did.
And He didn't save you so you can continue in things that we did before we were saved. Many of us do. I've seen a lot of people saved and had to witness and all that stuff. And they continue to where they was back here when they was lost. You know, but the thing is, they're saved. So how is that love? Walk in love. And walk in love as Christ also have loved who? Us. And have given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. That is the motivation, if you think about, that will show you how to walk intelligently. Are we supposed to have the mind of Christ? Mm-hmm. How many of us put the mind of ourselves on when we think of some things? Now, I've said this, if I haven't said it 1,000 times, I've said it 100,000 times. In the Bible, in the garden, when Satan deceived Eve, he introduced not only, they had God's word there, right? Yeah, and Satan's word. But something else was introduced there that was never involved before, and that was human viewpoint. And I believe that human viewpoint, your own mind, can deny the Word of God and can deny even Satan. but you yourself have a mind that can be just as bad. You know what I'm talking about? You can decide in your mind that you're not going to believe this or you're going to do that. But we're supposed to have the mind of Christ on. And do you want to be motivated yourself and your congregation to serve God? That's what the verse is. We walk in love as a congregation. We walk in love as a body of Christ, as a local member of the body of Christ. And he begins in verse 3. He says, but fornication and all uncleanness, and let it not be once named among you. And I just read that little way, all the way down to verse 12. And you walk in love as a sweet Savior unto God. You know, it's hard to walk in love sometimes, isn't it? Especially you know you got an enemy over here. You know what I mean? And you're like, I don't want to deal with this. And we talked about that earlier, the fact that, you know, you are to love a lot everybody, right? Isn't that what you've been taught? But you also, do you have to like them? You know what I mean? You love them because who Christ loved you, but do you really have to like them? And if they're doing things that's not pleasing to God or to yourself and all that stuff, aren't there a verse that says mark them and avoid them? You know, and just avoid them. You don't have to, you can love them for who you are in Christ. You know, I know many of us talk about politicians and stuff like that, how, you know, it gets in our crawl, you know, that type of thing. But you know what? You still got to love them. You still got to pray for them. But you don't have to like what they're doing. But folks, there's supposed to be a distinction between a saved man and a lost man. And he says, walk in love, and that will motivate you to walk in the light, to walk differently. And I think that makes a difference in who we are, even in the workplace and stuff like that. When you walk in the light and walk differently, don't people look at you differently? You ever notice that when you first establish yourself, if they never met you before, and you're walking in the light, you don't have to beat them over the head with the Bible. You just, who you are in Christ, and you walk in love, and walk in some, they're going to look at you differently, and like, man, there's something different about you. And they'll test you with jokes, you know, of the filthy kind. Many of you have probably never been around water coolers, you know, that type of thing. But that's what I'm talking about. And they'll see. And you know, if you crack a smile, I know some people, if you crack a smile at that, you know what they assumed? Yes. Yes. And I watched that in my profession also. I got to watch it because as a truck driver, many of you know, as a truck driver, there's some filthy talking people out there. You know, you probably ran into them in truck stops. You probably ran them, but some of us are not. And they're like looking at you like, you're not the normal truck driver. Well, why? Because I'm trying to walk in the light. And you want to have a different life and life that honor and pleases God to do that. And you have to walk in light and walk in the condition of who you are in who? Christ. Now this is getting deep. Not only is it getting personal, it's getting congregational. You know, as a whole, we need to walk that way. You know, I know a lot of people that, you know, in the past that does some things. I'm like, hey man, you know you're representing us as a local body of Christ out there? And you're out there protesting and all that stuff. You know, you got to be very, very careful. You know, what you do individually affects who you are locally and, you know, and the impact. I'm not going to have dominion over your faith. I want to be helpers of your joy. And I know you respect me the same way. Amen? But yeah, I hope you know me, that if you see me doing something like that, you can say, hey, Ed, you know, that's unbecoming of who you are. But look, before they got saved, was it walking in the light or walking in darkness? Before you got saved, was you walking in the light or walking in darkness? Walking in darkness, you know it. And verse 8, for ye were sometimes darkness back there. For ye were sometimes darkness. Back in Romans chapter 1, we went through that. How in times past, Gentiles and all that stuff. Even Ephesians chapter 2, we looked at that. We walked according to the course of this world. Now, many of you may not feel like you walked according to the course of this world, but I did. You know, I'm not going to tell you anything that's foolishness. I did walk the course of this world, and I thought I was saved. But look, where are you at? Get Colossians chapter, hold your finger in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter, excuse me, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. There we're going to go. 1 Corinthians, not Colossians. In Job chapter 11, it says, canst thou by searching find out God? And what is the answer to that? The answer is no. A man is in dark and he can't find God. You know that? Mm-hmm. Now, there's a God consciousness in every person that if they hear, we're going to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And a lost man is in the dark. And without hearing the gospel and hearing the light and hearing, he can't find God. Now, it surprises me, and it may surprise you, that if you talk to people and they don't know who Jesus Christ is, but they pray to God or a God, does that ever, like, set you back? My thought is, what God are you praying to? Because even in the days when Israel was in Egypt, there was many gods down there, wasn't there? And the 10 plagues. You know those 10 plagues had to do with 10 gods of this world? And God put every one of those gods down. God the Creator put every one of them. So they pray to God. So when people say, I'm praying to God, you know, you better find out which God they're praying to. Because they could be lost. Listen, I'm not saying this be ugly. But how can God respond to an unsaved person if he hasn't trusted Christ Jesus first? He wants you to know his son. And through his son you have direct access. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the spirit of what? God. You in 1 Corinthians chapter 3?
Chapter 2.
Let me see.
Yeah,
2? Okay. Yeah, there you go, chapter 2. Thank you. What does it say about a natural man? You know who that natural man is? Talk to me. It's a lost man.
Lost. Mm-hmm.
Natural man. Okay, what is 2 Corinthians chapter 4? 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Second Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we receive mercy, we faint not, but having renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by the manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. You know that's your ministry? You know your ministry is to hidden things of dishonesty? You know, that's tough to do out there in the religious world because I guarantee you every one of us knows there's a religious system out there that hides the truth. And also, look, not walking in craftiness. You know anybody out there is walking in craftiness? I do. I know a whole religious system out there is dreaming up things and convincing things and trickery and all that stuff, craftiness to keep you there. Then it says, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. You know anybody that don't rightly divide the word of truth? See, these things right here, when Paul tells that, it hits rubber hits road, guys. And I think in myself, I've done made a decision. God was right. Me and you are wrong. You know? He is right, and it's going to make a difference in my life. So which side do you want to be on? You want to be on the right side. And I'm telling you, as being involved in this for a long, long time now, 24 years, we have lost a lot of friends, haven't we, sir? We have lost a lot of loved ones because we believe the Word of God to be true. Now, are they still kin to us? Yeah. Can I still be kind to them? Yeah. But I know where they're at. But it says, verse 3, but if this gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. in whom the god of this world had blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them, lest he who causes the light to shine out of darkness should shine unto them. When you're lost, you're in darkness, guys. You know, we talked about our young people, how they grow up and they want things and they get involved with things that's not pleasing to their bodies and pleasing to their fathers and mothers and stuff like that. And it's that what they want. And they don't care what's around them. And then there comes a time when they need to go back to those people and say, you know, I need help. And the people might be saying, you know, you're a dark dude. You know, your spirit's bad. You know, I remember what you did to me, that type of thing. You know, or you find somebody that knows the light and says, let me help you out here. You know, before you die a double death, if you will. Because everybody's going to die, you know that, unless the Lord comes back. You just don't want to die that second death. That's when you're lost. And who, when you get saved, he says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. That's Colossians chapter 2. Be turning to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. Hebrews, James, Peter, 1 John. You see, when you get saved, you become light in the Lord. Before you were saved, Ephesians chapter 5 verse 8, we haven't got there yet, but you were dark, you was ignorant of God. But now that you are saved, ye are the light of the Lord. Man, that makes a difference, don't it? You know what I mean? It's like, I'm a light. And I know we sing that song, hide your light under a bushel, no, I'm going to let it shine. You remember that song? You remember down in one of the darknesses in Egypt? Light was down in, was it Goshen? Where Israel was. The whole world around them was dark, but there was one little light down there. They had the light of the Lord with them. You know, I'm thinking, look at me. You know, I'm walking around a world of darkness, but God says I'm in light. You know what I'm talking about? That truck out there. It had these new headlights. You ever see those bright, we used to call them European lights. Big, bright lights. 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, somebody's coming up behind you. It's just like, whoa, man, put your low beams on. But they are low beams. And that truck out there had them. And Josh pulled up in the yard about 1 o'clock in the morning in my bedroom. The whole backyard lit up in darkness. I'm like, whoa. I pulled those lights out and put the regular lights back in. Because my fear is I'm going to blind you. And you know what I'm saying? And when you put weight in the back of a truck and they're standing like that, you know what I'm talking about, Dan. You're driving down the road and you're like, man, you know, you're turning your mirrors every which way. That's bright and dark. That's the way we should shine when people see it, but you don't want to, like, you know, hey, I can't stand to look at you. Moses, you know, Moses had the glory of God on him. Shine bright. He had to put a veil over his face. But I'm carrying on a little bit. But you are light of the world. Where did I tell you to turn? 1 John. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. Now, who's John written to here? Okay, where you find that in times past, but now in ages to come? What book? Where would you place Hebrews through Revelation at?
Ages
to come. Okay, they're going to need this book. Okay, Hebrews is a book of doctrine. When they go through this tribulation period, they're going to take the book of Hebrews, and that believing Jew is going to believe that, and they're going to say, yeah, we need to get out of here. We know who this guy is out here. Then James is a book of reproof. His book of James is writing to the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel during this time, and he's telling them, you got to do this and do that. It's a book of reproof. Then what's after James? 1 Peter. Okay? That's a book of correction. Peter's correcting them. Then you got what? John. Okay? It's kind of like a book of doctrine to them. Just like Romans through Philemon, that same way them over here. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declared unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Now the issue here is not how they walk, but what? Where they walk. He's saying, you got the light of God in you, and you're saying you walk, and not saying you're walking in darkness, and you're walking in darkness. What does he say? You lie. And you do not the truth. That's the same over in Ephesians chapter 5, if we'll go back. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. But now are ye light in the Lord. It is God telling you what you are. But he's not telling you what you can be or what you should be or should do. You are that. It is God telling you, this is who you are, guys. You're the light of the Lord. And you don't have to try to be light. You don't have to struggle to shine. You are the light of the Lord. That's kind of weird, isn't it? And I know there's different degree of lighting in your house, aren't they? But light is light. You know, we got one of those, what do you call them, light?
Dimmer switches.
Dimmer switches, but there's
three-way.
A...
Three-way
bulb. Three-way, but there's a light that my wife had an asset.
Accent light. Yeah, it's an accent.
Okay.
Wall.
Okay, but there's the wall is painted different color, so it's how do you say it? Well, the light itself got a dimmer, and when you take it to bright, it accents the color of the wall. Okay, but it's not your reading lamp. You don't get that? It's not the light you turn on in the morning and you go, whoa, you know, where'd that bulb come from? That type of thing. It's just a little light that sets off the wall that you can turn on and look at it and say, oh, you did a good job, honey. You know what I mean? It's almost like a fireplace without the fire. You got a light there. What do they call that? Ambiance? Yeah. What's that for?
Atmosphere.
It gives you a feeling. Oh, warmth, light. That type of thing. No, it's not a feeling. You are the light of God. And the thing is, don't forget that phrase, in the Lord. You have the light in Christ. And he says, walk as children of light. Walk as the children of God, as we already seen. And it just means to reflect the Lord. That's hard, isn't it? You know, picking on my wife a little bit, she's talking about what kind of week she had the last couple weeks. You know, all of a sudden, all the family members were there. All the kids was there. And all of a sudden, they're gone. And it's just like, I'm here in this dark world, in this dark house. You know, where's the light at? Where's the fun? It was, and then she realized, you know something? I'm not going to feel sorry for myself. I'm going to get up and be who I am in Christ Jesus. You know, that's the key, guys, in everything we do. And it's hard, especially when that life comes crashing down on you, work-related, spouse related, or you know, anything, neighbor, anything. It come. Who should let that shine in you? You know, I had to. You know, my wife probably don't appreciate this, but when you got something to talk about and it's good, you know, she was, you know, in her master bathroom this morning. She goes, "Don't anybody give attention to this bathroom anymore?" And I'm sitting at my desk and I'm looking over some scriptures and stuff. I said, "Honey, don't go there. You know, we've had a wonderful morning. You know what I'm talking about? Because all I had to say, well, why ain't you cleaning it? You know, you use it just as much as I do. My little sink is this big. Her sink's this big. You know what? Who's filthiest? You know, I clean up my little area. You know, but anyway, the thing is, I asked her not to go there. Because I knew where that would take us.
You shouldn't have went there, man.
But anyway, hey, I heard scrubbing bubbles going off in the bathroom earlier. But anyway, the thing is, it just means that to reflect the Lord. Let the Lord light shine. Walk in the light with your position in who? Christ. And if you do that, it will make a difference in you. People want to see the Lord in you. You talk about it. Do we not? We talk about scriptures. We talk about the Lord. But do they see it in you? You know, that's hard. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 3 through 8 tells us what the world is. But you are going to be different from that. It says, verse 3 through 5, but fornication and uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For ye know that no whoremonger, nor unclean persons, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. We're going to go over here right quickly about the list of sins there. You see that? You see that list? Mm-hmm. This is just a degrading sins of the world. That's what sin, it takes you down. Notice what he does there. There are three types of sin, and we're going to go over this and we'll close. But there are three sins that his list: fornication, uncleanness, and covetousness. You see that? Do you know what fornication is? Okay. What do you think it is? You're wrong. Next.
Having a relationship with someone other than your spouse.
Having a relationship other than someone, your spouse. You agree with that or don't agree with that? That's the one I'm really looking after. So look, I'm not going to put the English back into Greek and Greek into English, but the word comes for pornographically. Okay? Porno. That type of thing. And it's talking about illicit weaknesses, wickedness. Uncleanness is just the other depravity that people can go to. And covetousness is just that insatiable desire for more and more and more. Right? I want, I want, I want, I want. You ever done that? I know sometimes in our life we have. And sometimes of us, we continue to have. Well, I want that. I want that. I want that. But do you need it? That's the thing. I always ask that, do I really need it? I can want all day long. Dan's saying yes. But would you please notice the covetousness? Wait a minute. And he goes, for this you know that no whoremonger, a whoremonger is somebody who commits fornication, okay, nor unclean person, nor covetous man. He is going to list three types of people. First he lists their sins, three sins. Now he's going to list three people: whoremongers, unclean persons, and covetous man, who is a what? Idolater. Okay? Would you notice that covetous in the Bible is identified with as idolatry? Right? I want. That's idolatry. I treasure that. You know? That type of thing. Understand that Paul talks about and warns against covetous. And when he talks about the office of a pastor in Timothy and the work of the ministry, you come against, you got to watch this, because at work in the ministry, you can become an idolater by coveting things, coveting buildings. You know what I'm talking about? As someone in our positions, we're like, man, I want that building over there, guys. You know what I mean? And I want that building. I want that big crowds. I want big offerings. I want big salaries. I know that never going to happen. I want big positions. You know what? One thing about preaching this message, you know you ain't going to get rich. But anyway, God help me to live another 15, 20 years and continue to work, and we'll be okay. You know what I mean? But anyway, look. You can make an idol out of your religious traditions and your religious systems and your religious service to God. That's covetousness, though. And what do you think idol is anyway?
Something
an idol? Do you think a Buddha, some Buddha, or some screwy thing down in the jungles, you know, in Brazil? You know, we've been to Hawaii, many of us has, and there's a lot of idol worship there, isn't there? It can be anything.
It can be anything apart from God.
Yes. And what do you think that motivates them anyway? It's covetousness. And it's the desire to use the thing to gain and profit from it, supposing that gain is godliness. You know, you look a lot of... You know, we point fingers at TV evangelists all the time, don't we? You know, especially that one down there in Texas. You know, he's got a, you know, biggest church, I guess, in the United States today, isn't it? And can he preach the gospel? You know,
he couldn't give it to it.
But notice in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4, there are three types of sins, three types of people, and there's three types of conversation that goes along with the sin and the sinful people. There's filthiness, then there's foolish talk, and then there's jesting. And those three sins goes along with three types of sin: fornication for the whoremonger who has a filthy talk. And when you hear a filthy kind of talk, and you know that person is coming out of, don't you? You ever notice that? Okay? Well, many of you may not have been around that type of people. I have. I've walked the streets. I've been halfway around the world twice, and then some. You know, I listened to the talk, been involved in it. And when you hear that, when you see a whoremonger, that is the way he talks, and that is what he does. You know, a sinner is going to be a sinner, right? You know, a truck driver is going to be a truck driver. Not a steering wheel holder, a truck driver. There's a lot of steering wheel holders. When you see a fornicator, that is who he is, and that is the way he talks. It don't matter what he dresses like. Right? It don't matter. Uncleanness. The unclean person has foolish talk and kinds of dumb things that tears down people. You know, he wants to bring you down to his trashy level. And I notice people sometimes, even when we get mad at our spouses, God help us. Sometimes we may say something not nasty, but we may say something knowing it's going to hurt them, and why? To bring them down our level? That's sad, isn't it? We should, even though we know, you know, they make us mad, you could clean the bathroom. You don't need my permission. You know? You know, I could have said something ugly. But I said, let's not. You know, I said, let's not go there. Let's not go there.
You got
to
hold it again.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, I mean, hey, quit meddling. Right, quit meddling. Quit preaching. Come on. Ephesians 4:29 says, remember what it says? Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of what? Edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearer.
Like, honey, I'll get that bathroom after church.
I'll take the trash out. You do the bathroom. How's that? You mow the yard, and I'll do the bathroom. You will never hear. Okay.
Just remember, see, this yeah. is being recorded. I know.
And people may learn from this. We need counseling in here. But anyway, you will never hear that which is good to the use of edifying come out of that unclean person's mouth. There's not a one of us sometimes still getting a flesh. That flesh pops up there, and it bothers me, and I get out of my comfort zone, and I have to get out of my house and go do something. You know, when I'm trying to do this because I procrastinated so long that I needed this time, and then somebody else needs me. And it's like, whoa. You know, that, I'm like, okay, they need me. It's not about me, it's about them. You'll never hear something like that. You'll hear things that tears them down. And the covetousness is practiced by idolatry, jesting. Jesting is not simple humor, guys. Now, we poke fun at each other all the time. Humor. You with me? But that type of jesting is not humor. It's ugliness. And the word jesting means that which rises laughter at the expense of decency. With me? It's not decent to jest or the way Paul's talking about this. And he's not talking about pure humor, that appropriate use. He's talking about humor that is used at the expense of decency. And that is exactly what a covetous man does. Now, if you think about that for a while and think about the ramification of that, it will change your attitude towards those things and those type of people. I don't want to be that way. And every time I go through this and get this message, I'm preaching to myself, guys. You know, I'm with you when it comes as equal with God in the sight of who we are in Christ Jesus. I don't put no man above God. And I hope you don't either. You put this message in the book. You get behind the message. You get behind the book. But fornicators and uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saints. You are not merely advised against doing these things, but you are to avoid even discussing them, even talking about them. Verse 12 down there says, For it is shamed even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. When you begin to talk about those things, a holy blush, if you will, should come on your cheeks. And you should be ashamed to hear those things discussed and ashamed to even think about them. If you really think about this. You know, I hate to think, and I do think, sometimes it don't bother us. You know, we're so accustomed to hanging around people, you know, because we want friendship. We want, you know, That when we hear those things, I know our ears go click, but we just avoid them and just let them because we know who they are, you know. But the thing is, let me ask you this right quick. How do they know you? Wouldn't that make a difference? I know sometimes when we get in here, I'm going to pick on Rhonda just for a second. Sometimes we get in here, we might be talking about football or something. And guess what she does? Hey, let's get on with it. You know. And I appreciate that because you know why? We can start talking about foolishness things, you know, in a way. But where our mind is here. We should be concentrating on the Word of God and allowing that build us inside us, and then we can take it out. But my encouragement to you this week is when you're around people. And you're going to be around people unless you're just going to stay in your house all week and vacate. I don't know. But you're going to go out to the store. You're going to go out to the gas station. You're going to go, you know, walk through your complex there for a little bit. Just watch people, notice people, how, where they're at. And when you hear them talk, see if you can identify them. If when they're lost, they're definitely going to tell you. But even when they're saved, and if they're saved and they're talking that way, you can say, you know something? Let me share this with you. You know, you are light of God. You're a light in the Lord. And He is light. Is He not? And we're going to put a glorious body on one day, fashioned like His glorious body. And I know we don't have to, many of us are waiting on that right now. We're ready for it. You know, just take me on. You know, right now I'm ready to go. But until we go, we should be light, shouldn't we? And as a congregation of who we are in this community, you know, you have no idea, I do, you have no idea what kind of impact you have right here across the globe. I get emails, I get, you know, people always want to be our friend on their Facebook page and stuff like that, you know, and they're always wanting to know what you're doing and what you're doing in the Lord. So you're making an impact in a community, and you're also making an impact in the state and nation and even where? Where's the final impact? Heaven. Lord, once again, we thank you for a day. We thank you so much in our life. And as we think about who we are in Christ, as be lights, that we are able to walk in His love as Christ also hath loved us and have given Himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God. And we thank you for that Son, that he did that for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.